Well, let me invite you to take your teaching outline tonight, Revive, as we continue in this series on revival. Tonight we're talking about, are we willing to deny ourselves? Look at these questions in the first paragraph tonight. What do you do when a major decision is before you? All of us find ourselves at that place in life. There's a major decision before us, and so what do we do when we face that? I was thinking about when Ange and I were looking to leave Kentucky, to maybe move to Tallahassee, Florida. That was a major decision for us, moving several states away. And so it was a week of Christmas, and we fly down to Tallahassee to meet with the search committee again and just kind of look around and just trying to discern what God's heart was in that process. And so we ended up in Tallahassee, and I remember us being in the home of one of the pastor search committee members. And you know, they were like, if you have a decision, do you have a decision? Do you have a decision? And I kept saying, I don't have a decision. Don't have a decision. Don't have a decision. And so I remember that night we had been praying together, and I had literally been on my knees in the living room of this brother's house. And again, week of Christmas, and I said to them, I said, here's where I believe we need to go after tonight. Let's take, and I gave them a specific date. It was just like 2 days later. And I said, I believe what we need to do, we need to pray and to fast for the next 24 hours on that day. And we'll just see if the Lord will give us direction and guidance with that. So we leave Tallahassee. We fly to Atlanta. We're staying in a hotel in Atlanta. We get up that morning. We go up to the breakfast area, and we're just going to get something to drink. And the lady's like, we got all this food. Enjoy it. And I said, we're just going to get something to drink. She said, you're not going to eat all this food. I said, you wouldn't really understand. I wasn't trying to talk about fasting, but we were fasting at that particular time, just seeking to discern God's direction. And then we drive from there. We drive to Kentucky to Angie's parents to spend Christmas with them. And we get into Angie and them's house, and her mother is a good baker, and she comes and brings these chocolate and peanut butter balls to eat. And that's so tempting, and because I could eat about 10 of those things right now. And so said, well, we're just going to pass. We're not going to eat those. And again, it's just hard to explain. But we're just discerning God's direction, and we believe the Lord used that season of fasting and praying to give us direction, what he wanted us to do. But what do you do when a major decision is before you? Second question, what do you do when your heart longs for deeper intimacy with the Lord? What do you do with that? I mean, you're enjoying your relationship with him, your walk with him, but there's just something in your heart longs for a deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord. What do you do when that desire is there? And then, what do you do when a brother or sister in Christ is facing adversity? And they're around us. And tonight we're talking about Chris and Melanie and their family. But what do we do though when we've got a dear brother or sister in Christ just facing adversity, storms, trouble in life? What do we do with that? And then what do you do when God's people seem cold, casual, or complacent? What do you do with that? There are many, many situations, like many churches, declining, dying, and they're just cold, and they're very casual, and they're complacent in many ways. What do you do with that? I believe part of the answer to that is saying, Lord, we're going to have a season where we're going to come together, and we're going to fast and pray to discern your heart, your mind, what you want us to do as we move forward. And God calls his people to do that. Next, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? That's a simple question, but it's a deep question. There are many folks who are believers, but are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? And here's what that means. Jesus gave his disciples a sacrificial challenge. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. How many of us tonight in this Bible study, we'll look at it and say, I am a disciple. I'm a learner and follower of Christ. And he's asked me to deny myself, to come after him and deny myself, and to pick up my cross and to follow him. And I'm willing to do that. as you look at this, our culture doesn't encourage us to deny ourselves. You're not going to hear a message on television from secular world say, why don't you deny yourself? No, they're going to say it's all about yourself. Life isn't about anybody else. Life's about you. It's all about you. But that's what the culture says. But as followers of Jesus, we need to deny our agendas, our pleasures, and our comforts. And the Lord calls us to do that. Can you imagine for the Son of God, Savior of the world, in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and the Father's will is for him to lay down his life and to pick up his cross and to go to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and sacrifice his life and to shed his blood and to die on an old rugged cross for your sin and my sin and to be buried in a tomb, but gloriously on the third day be raised to life. He sacrificed his life for us. And are we willing to sacrifice for him and for the sake of other people? But somewhere we got to be willing to say, Lord, for your leadership and the Holy Spirit's work in my life, I'm going to sacrifice, deny my agenda, my pleasures and my comforts for you and for other people. When was the last time you fasted and prayed? And then God moves when his people fast and pray. God does an incredible work during that time. Listen to these scripture verses here. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The Spirit was leading him to do that. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let me ask you, how is the Holy Spirit leading you? Tonight, if somebody asks you, what's the Holy Spirit doing in your life? What's the Holy Spirit teaching you? Somebody asks you, how is the Holy Spirit leading you? How would you answer that question? Yeah, here's what the Spirit's teaching me. I'll give you a verse here in just a moment that the Holy Spirit just kind of rocked my world with this morning in Bible study. But what's he teaching you? But also, what's the Holy Spirit leading you to do? As believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. We should be finding guidance and direction and leadership from his Holy Spirit. So how's the Holy Spirit leading you? The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And let me just say tonight, if our Lord, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, if he fasted and prayed, and then our desire is to be like him, then we should be fasting and praying like him. So what's the Holy Spirit leading you to do? Next, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Now notice this word, and when you fast. It's not if you fast, but when you fast. Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 is not if you fast, but when you fast. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching is not if you pray, but when you pray. Not if you give, but when you give. And again, not if you fast, but when you fast. So as disciples who are seeking to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, are we praying? Are we fasting? Are we giving? Are we doing those things that are taught in what we understand as the Sermon on the Mount? So it's not if, it's when in that context. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you tonight as we look at this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Who or what are you praying for? Again, if we just put out a piece of paper and a list and you start writing down things you're praying for, or people you're praying for. Who are you praying for? What are you praying about these days in your life? Sure, we pray before meals, and we pray if we're going to travel somewhere, but can you name people by name that you're praying for? People who are lost, you're praying for to get saved. Are you praying for people who are going through medical situations that the God of healing would heal those individuals? Who are you praying for by name, and what are you praying for? Again, God moves when his people fast as well as pray. Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? As we look at this, God moves again when his people fast and when his people pray. One of the things that I can tell you, being in South Asia, and we have some church folks who are in that part of the world even tonight, when you're around those pastors and church leaders, and Chris and I had the opportunity of being there back in end of August and early September, when you're there, you're seeing the move of God in such incredible ways. People are being saved, and believers are being called, and people are being healed, and God's doing all sorts of great works in that part of the world. It's just exponential growth, kingdom growth in that part of the world. And if you ask them, why is this happening in your part of the world? They would come back and they'd look at you, and it wouldn't be funny to them, or it wouldn't be trying to be super cute about it, but they would say, we believe God's moving in our lives and our churches and this part of the world, because we devote hours upon hours to fasting and prayer. And they're just seeing God do some incredible, miraculous things. Why? Because they're willing to deny themselves and to pick up their crosses and follow him. So for us in the room tonight, then again, whoever's listening to this podcast, how many of us who name the name of Jesus have denied ourselves this very day? How many of us are willing to pick up our cross and follow him? How many of us have said no to our agendas, to our pleasures, to our plans, and to say, Lord, it's not about me, but it's about you. It's about other people. It's about kingdom work. But how many of us are willing to deny ourselves our comforts to seek his kingdom first and to minister to somebody else? I think in other parts of the world, Asia, Africa, other places, you see the movement of God in incredible ways because they understand sacrifice, they understand denying themselves, and they understand it's about his agenda and not theirs. And God moves in that context. Look at these next two questions I've got here. First, what is prayer? Simple statement, simple question, what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. How many conversations have you and I had with him today? What's that been like? Again, you can have a conversation before you ever get out of bed. Angie and I prayed together early this morning before about 4:45 this morning or so. I've had conversations with him throughout the day as well, but what kind of conversations have you had with the Lord on this Wednesday? But it includes the following biblical realities. First word is adoration. When you're having a conversation with God, the first word is adoration. What are you doing? You're just praising him for his greatness. We serve a great Heavenly Father. I love the hymn, How Great Thou Art. When we pray, do we understand how great he is? He's the great and awesome God. When you pray, pray with adoration and just thank him and praise him and glorify him for his greatness and who he is. Praise him for his greatness. Second word is thanksgiving. You have a conversation with him and you thank him for his blessings. Just look around at your life and Just look around at your day and just look how good He's been to you and me. How much He's blessed you and me. We have so much in this life. So many things He's provided for us. Just so, so many blessings. But how have you thanked Him today in your own life? How have you praised Him for His greatness? But also, how have you thanked Him for so many blessings in life? Third word is confession. It's just God's conviction. How's the Holy Spirit convicting you? Convicting you of unrighteousness, convicting you of sin. When have you confessed that? Have you confessed any sins to Him today? I think, Lord, here's where I sinned against you. This is what I thought and it was wrong. This is what I've said and it was wrong. This is what I've done and it's wrong. And the Holy Spirit's convicted me. And Lord, I need to confess my sin to you. Fourth word is supplication. And this is thinking about the power of God. Who have you prayed for by name today to say, Lord, you've got power to do all things. And I want to pray for somebody else by name for a situation. And God, I want to bring their needs before your throne. Who have you prayed for? That's the word supplication. This morning in our chapter a day Bible study, today we're in Genesis 18. Genesis 18 verse 14. And this is the verse this morning that just jolted my life somewhat. And here's what the verse says. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's about His greatness. His power is unlimited. He can do all things. He has all power. His presence is everywhere. He knows everything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is absolutely not. Because of His greatness, because of His blessings, His conviction, His power. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so I just encourage you, what is prayer? Well, it's a conversation with God. And so as you evaluate your prayer life, again, have you praised Him today? Have you thanked Him today? Have you confessed any sin to Him today? And then have you brought the needs of just loved ones or our church family or circumstances in life that you see? Have you brought any of those needs before Him today to say, Lord, and in the quietness of my soul, I just need to pray for somebody else. That's what prayer is, a conversation with God. Next, what is fasting? You know, what is not only what is prayer, but what is fasting? Here's the definition I want to give you. It's a deliberate act of self-denial aimed at drawing closer to God, seeking His guidance, aligning one's life with His will. Again, look at that word. It's a deliberate act of self-denial. We're going to deny ourselves, and the aim of that is to draw closer to God. Seeking His guidance. Lord, we need to know what You want to do in the days ahead. Again, you face a major decision. What do you do with that? Well, you seek His guidance. Your heart longs for greater intimacy. What do? You seek His guidance. A brother or sister in Christ going through a season of adversity, well, you seek His guidance. You see a church that's cold and complacent and casual. You seek His guidance about what does He want to do in the midst of that. So you're seeking His guidance because you want to align your life with His will, not your will, His will. And so you fast. That's why when we looking to go to Bradfordville, that's why we prayed and fasted to think, Lord, it's not about what we want to do. It's not about our agendas. It's not about our will. What's Your will in this situation? And so we want to deny ourselves and we want to align ourselves with Your will in life. And the Lord moves in the midst of that. So we see many examples of fasting in the Bible. Let me give you a few of these. The first one is Esther. In Esther chapter 4. And you may want to write out there beside of that. It was a 3-day fast. And in the midst of that, she asked people not to eat or drink for 3 days. That's a big sacrifice. To go 3 days without any food or drink. Now, I would encourage you again, when it comes to food and nourishment and those type things, you want to be careful. You want to be obedient, but you want to be careful. And I would encourage you, before you go those many days and even longer than that without food or anything to drink, you may want to consult your medical provider and have a conversation about that to be able to do that. But for Esther in Esther 4, it was a 3-day fast from eating and drinking as well. Second one is Elijah in 1 Kings 19. That's an incredible story. He finds himself dealing with depression and mental illness, and he ultimately comes before God, and God, just take my life. I want to die. And what does the Lord ask him to do? The Lord asks him to rest. Two things. You need to sleep and you need to eat. And then finally there was a point where God was going to move him. And then we see there a 40-day fast in Elijah's life as he was moving toward Horeb, the mountain of God. Next is Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. We see Daniel was an incredible young man with a heart for God that was obedient to God in every way. And in Daniel chapter 10, you can read that it was a 21-day fast, 3 weeks, that Daniel just sought the Lord in the midst of that. Daniel was an incredible young guy. So it was 3 weeks, 21 days there. And then the last one is Jesus in Matthew 4. And I just read that a moment ago. Again, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I've met a few people in life who fasted 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to talk about one of those tonight, Dr. Bill Bright, who wrote this little booklet on 7 steps to successful fasting and prayer. We've got a few of those around, but I've been in a meeting with him one time. He was talking about fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and I've known some other people. But so you see those four. There are many other examples, but Esther, Elijah, Daniel, and Jesus. Here are several truths related to fasting. You abstain from food entirely. You skip certain meals, or you give up specific comforts. And so that could be electronics, it could be recreational activities, but you're denying yourself, you're giving something up so that you can devote more time seeking, spending time with the Lord to be able to do that. Also, please understand, fasting isn't about starving. You're not trying to starve yourself, you're seeking to spend time with the Lord. Fasting isn't about weight loss. Okay, I'm going to fast for 24 hours. Maybe I'll lose about 5 pounds. That's not the goal of fasting. The goal of fasting is to seek the heart of God and to hear His voice and to know His ways. It's not about selfish agendas, so I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, so I'll fast, and then maybe I'll get to do what I want to do. It's not that at all. You're seeking His agenda, not your agenda. You want to know God's heart, and you're seeking His face, and you're willing to deny yourself and give something up to do that. So the question, why fast? Let me give you these few bullet points here. First, seek God's guidance. Why do you fast? Well, you just need to know the heart of God. You need to know His direction. You wanting to know God's direction and guidance. So what are you going to do? Lord, I'm going to deny myself for this meal or this 24-hour period, 3 days or 40 days, whatever it may be. And God, in the midst of that, I'm just seeking Your guidance and Your direction. And you give up something. Food, comforts, electronics, whatever, entertainment, recreation. And God, I'm going to use that time to invest that time with You because I really want to know Your guidance and direction for my life. Second is return to God. Sometimes in fasting and praying, what do? You sense a need for repentance. And you say, Lord, I have sinned against You. And I need to change directions. I need to change the direction of my life. And so I'm going to return to You. What does God call His people to do throughout the Bible is to return to Me. Because sometimes we're going in the wrong direction. We're going down the wrong road. And He wants us to return to Him. And in prayer and fasting, you sense the Holy Spirit's leadership and you return to Him. Third is prepare for revival. You want to see God move not only in your life, but in people around you, leading to this incredible spiritual awakening. So what do? You fast and you pray and you're asking God to send revival to your life and to the lives of other people. And it comes about by fasting and praying. You study, again, revival history, some of the great moves of God in history. In biblical history, but also in modern history, came about because His people were willing to deny themselves and they were willing to fast and pray to say, God, move in my life and in our lives. It's just a time to prepare for revival. Next, experience spiritual clarity. You just want to know the mind and the heart of God. You want to know what God wants you to do. And it's a joyous place in life when you get to that place and you're facing this major decision. And you can say not with arrogance or pride, but you can say with assurance and with spiritual clarity, this is what God wants me to do. This is how God wants me to go. This is where He wants me to go. You have that spiritual clarity in your life. It comes about by fasting and praying. And then you bring some brother or sister in Christ around that you're praying for. And it's just incredible to see the clarity of God. And then number five there, you pray for people. You fast, you pray, you deny yourself, you deny comforts. It's not about your agenda. It's not about your pleasures. And what do? You're going to spend 15 minutes, 30 minutes. And God, I'm going to use this time to pray for people. And you're praying for people who need to be saved. You're praying for churches that need to be revived and renewed. You're praying for people whom you love and who you know who have health concerns. And they need the touch of God on their lives, and you're praying for them. So you're giving up a meal, or you're giving up three meals, whatever it may be for that day. Instead, again, just a weight loss situation. No, the time you would spend preparing or eating that meal, what are you doing? You're devoting that time praying to the Lord. You give up something and you spend time seeking Him. Maybe you're not going to give up food. Maybe it's not the wise thing for you, but you're going to give up electronic devices. How much time do you spend every day on an electronic device? Sometimes that's shocking when you get those alerts. Here's your weekly activity report. And look, you mean I spent that much time on that electronic device this week, every day? And you think, well, Lord, I got to give some of that up. And so I'm not going to check social media and all those other platforms. I'm not going to send as many emails and do all this stuff, make all these calls. I'm not going to just surf the internet on my phone or tablet, whatever it may be. And so, Lord, I'm going to use that time that normally I'd be doing that. I'm going to use that to pray for another person who's facing a challenge in life. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to pray. And you pray for people. So that's incredible stuff. Seek God's guidance. You return to God. You prepare for revival. You experience spiritual clarity, but you pray for people. Next, Dr. Bill Bright was a godly man. He loved Jesus, made a global kingdom impact with Jesus for him, and influenced people to practice the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life, faith. He wrote a little book entitled Seven Steps to Successful Fasting and Prayer. Again, here's an example. What are the seven steps? Let me give them to you. Number one, set your objective. Why are you fasting? What is the Holy Spirit leading you? Or why is the Holy Spirit leading you to fast? Is it to pray for the healing of someone? Do you need guidance in your life? And God, you're seeking guidance. Do you need renewal? Do you need to solve a problem in your life? But set your objective. Why is the Holy Spirit leading you to fast? Number two, make your commitment. What kind of fast will you undertake? Food, activities, electronic devices, etc., etc., recreational interest, whatever. How long will you fast? Is it for one meal? Is it for a 24-hour period? Is it 3 days or is it 40 days? And as you know, you'll get an email tomorrow from us and from me, and I appreciate Brother Bill and others who've helped with that, just giving you a challenge that on Friday, January the 24th, for a 24-hour period that you would fast and pray for Chris and Melanie and their girls and family. And again, that could be food, it could be electronics, it could be recreational interests, it could be all sorts of things. And we're going to give you very specific ways for you to pray as you're seeking the face of God and the heart of God over that 24-hour period. And those are going to be, would you pray for their intimacy and their time with the Lord? Would you pray for the quality time that they have together as a family? Would you pray that for God to give wisdom to Dr. Moeller, who's his neurosurgeon? Would you pray for divine healing? Because is anything too hard for the Lord? Absolutely not. And then, would you just pray for Romans 8:28 moments? Continue to serve, be fruitful, productive, see the hand of God at work. God, you bring good out of bad situations. God, do that according to your word. And so just asking us, set the objective and make a commitment. And you're going to do it for a meal or 24 hours. We're just asking you for 24 hours Friday to just fast and pray for them. Number three, prepare yourself spiritually. What sins do you need to confess? Do you need to practice repentance? Holy Spirit convicting you about a sin or sins in your life, and you need to agree with God and say, God, I have sinned against you, and God, I need to turn from that sin. I need to come back to you. I need to change directions and come back. Who do you need to forgive? How will you handle spiritual opposition? Because when you start fasting and praying, you can rest assured the enemy is going to come against you. He does not like revival fasting, revival praying. He doesn't like any of those things. Because he knows you're denying yourself and you're seeking the heart and the face of Christ. So how are you going to handle spiritual opposition? Number four, prepare yourself physically. Consult with your medical doctor as needed. Begin your fast slowly. Prepare to deal with physical challenges and emotions. There have been times that I've fasted that the hunger pains were intense. I mean, you just get hungry. Sometimes there's impatience. Sometimes there's anger, maybe hangry. You know, you're hungry and you're angry at the same time. But you just work through those. You got to prepare yourself physically for those things. Because those challenges and emotions are real and they come against you and me. Number five, put yourself on a schedule. Plan to spend more time with the Lord. That's the heart of fasting. I'm going to give up a meal, or I'm going to give up this electronic device or television, or I'm going to give up this recreational interest of mine for whatever time it is. And I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. You read the word. You get on your knees and face before the Lord. And you worship the Lord with music and at times with just silence. Sometimes you don't need any music playing. You just need to be silent and still before the Lord. Let Psalm 46:10 resonate in your life. Be still and know that I'm God. And you just put yourself on a schedule. Number six, end your fast gradually. It's not wise to rush back into eating foods or using electronic devices. Take your time to readjust and savor your fresh encounter with the Lord. Just end your fast gradually. Number seven, expect results. How are you aware of God's presence? When you're fasting and praying, are you aware of the presence of God in your life? What insights did the Lord show you? I encourage you. And again, I really wouldn't want to do this with an electronic device because the temptation would be to start checking stuff, messages and so forth. But a piece of paper. Again, that's why I have papers like this around me at all times. I can just write notes down. What did the Lord show you? What did he teach you? What truths did he give you? What insights did he impress upon you? I want to write some of those things down. What did you ask God to do? And how has fasting and praying renewed your walk with him? What has that been like? As you fast and pray, here are three words to practice. First word is confess. Ask the Lord to reveal any sins in your life. And what do you need to confess? Number two is forgive. Meditate on God's forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, just as you have been forgiven in Christ, you should forgive other people. He's forgiven us. Jesus shed his blood and gave his life for us. Our forgiveness is about his sacrifice. just meditate on how much God loves you and how you've been forgiven in Christ because of Jesus. And then seek restoration and reconciliation. And then the third word is surrender. Worship the Lord. Share the gospel. Participate in this church. And what I mean by that is we're asking you on Friday, January 24th, 24-hour period, to fast and pray for our brother and the Lord's servant in Christ. That you'd be willing to do that. 24-hour period. And again, you'll get this email tomorrow. And there are very specific ways, scripture verses, and just seek the heart of God for the Lord's leadership in their lives. But the question comes back again, are we willing to deny ourselves? Fasting and praying. Let's bow together for a moment. Tonight, I just want to encourage you before we sing, just to ask the Lord this. Lord, when Friday comes, do you want me involved, Lord, in fasting and praying for that 24-hour period? It could be from meals, or it could be from entertainment or electronic devices or recreation or whatever it may be. And just ask the Lord to give you strength that you can deny yourself. And you can pursue His agenda. And you can stand in the gap and pray. For the Beck family and for other things the Holy Spirit brings to your attention as well. And Lord, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to seek your kingdom, your righteousness first. And I'm praying this way and as the Holy Spirit leads as well. Lord, thank you tonight for our time in the Word and for a challenge that we would deny ourselves. And Lord, I just want to ask first, and not selfishly, but Lord, you would prepare my heart for a 24-hour period on Friday just to fast and pray. And I pray my mind, I pray my heart, I pray my physical life will be in a posture, Lord, to hear from you. And I pray for our church family that we'd be willing to deny ourselves and pick up our crosses and follow you. We want to be safe. We want to be responsible. We want to be wise. But Lord, what can we give up over those 24 hours that would allow us to spend more intimate time with you? To pray for the Becks and to pray for other individuals and situations the Holy Spirit brings to our attention. And Lord, at the end of the day, the glory goes to you. So thank you, Jesus, that you sacrificed for us, and help us to sacrifice for your kingdom and to stand in the gap for other people. And I pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.